What other story?
About the parrot and the...
Parrot?
Yeah, there's one about the parrot and the human feces. Isn't that a story?
Uh-huh, that story. You haven't yet recorded.
Oh, that Narad story.
Oh.
Where's Narad?
Where's the Charlie Chu?
This story you want now. You see?
Before you start,
at the time of Lord Krishna, at the time there was one of his followers by name Narad. Of course, Narad also appears at the time of Ram, and then again he appears at the time of Krishna. That doesn't mean that he lived so long, but he has been used, the name is there, symbolic, is the term of, is the representation or personification of a human mind, you may call it. Every time, in every advent, there is one Narad. So what happened is that this Narad, at the time of Lord Krishna once, while he was with the other followers around Lord Krishna, his mind started playing a trick with him. He says that, well, I have been with Lord Krishna, you see, for the past 30 years or 35 years now, and what have I gained by being near the God-man? What have I gained? There are yogis, you see, who come to Lord Krishna and they bow down to him and they exhibit their powers and they walk over the seas and they can fly in the air and they materialize and dematerialize, and so many things happen, you see, by being away from the Lord himself and while meditating on him. And quite a contrast. I have dedicated my life, I have been living with him for so many years by his side, in his physical presence, and what have I gained? Nothing. Well, this is how the mind played a trick on him. And he started thinking. He didn't know what to do. And it involved him a lot, and he became very moody, felt frustrated. And that gloom overshadowed his, what you call, humor and his liveliness, you see, that was there. And once Lord remarked as to what has happened, Narad, to you. Are you ill? What has happened? Why are you so sad? Why are you in your mood? So he tried to put off for a day or two, then he had to blurt out saying that, there's nothing wrong, Lord, but I feel that I wasted my years in your presence. He says, what makes you say so? He says, well, I don't know, but I feel, my mind tells me that, what have I gained by being by your side? Oh, Lord said, that's your folly, you see. You are so blessed, you don't know how blessed you are. You are one of the exalted ones, you see, by being near me. You don't know. You don't know your own worth. So, well, for a flash, it pleased Narad naturally, because it's all the play of the mind, you see. The mind felt satisfied. But at the same time, the mind also prompted him, saying that, well, this is the way of the God-man, you see. He tries to appease somebody and comfort somebody and raises up somebody and drops somebody, you see. And so the mind again says that, well, Narad, don't be taken up with all these things. You have gained nothing, nothing whatsoever. The Lord says that you are blessed, but what's that blessing? You are just the same. You have anger, you have this and you have that. You were just the Narad as you were. Yes. So he became very moody and again frustrated and says, it's all right, Lord, doesn't matter what may happen to me, it's nothing, but it's just a phase I am passing through. He said, all right. Lord tried to insist upon this fact that, well, Narad, you are really blessed. And I order you that you go to a certain spot there in the morning, and I order you to go there, don't take it lightly, and there you will get the sign how blessed you are. So Narad now has to take it seriously because it's an order from Lord. So he goes in the morning, next day, and he's very happy that, well, he might get some sign that how blessed he is. So he goes. So when he goes there, What does he find? The spot that was asked to go visit, you see, in India, you know, we don't have any closets or restrooms or anything of the sort. What we do here in India, who live in the countryside, you see, they go to the riverside, you see, on the banks of the rivers or dry beds of the river there, and the human flops you'll find, you see, in heaps. So there he goes to that particular spot where Lord Krishna told him where there was a well and all that. He goes there, and what does he find? A huge lump of human shit. He says, well, again, this is another joke from the God-man, you see. What can I do with that? Will that be a sign how blessed I am? Maybe the Lord is trying to make me realize of what use I have been to Him, you see, for the last so many years. Maybe. How worthless I am, you see, to even aspire, even to think of how, what have I gained, you see. So, well, he just watches, he's much more, he has lost all hopes now. He does not know what to do. He just gazes at it for quite some time. And then, while he is gazing at it, he does not understand why has he been sent over here. He just watches there, and all of a sudden, there appears something out of it, from the heap, from the apex of it. And what does he find? There is that worm, you see, that comes out. And he sees. And to him it appears that the worm also has spotted him. Their gaze, the eyes met, so to say. And no sooner the eyes met, the worm fell down, you see. Just lost balance and just... That's what the mind of Narad registered at the time. That as soon as the worm saw him, spotted him, as soon as Narad saw the worm, and the worm lost its life. Well, that's a coincidence. What is there in that? The only impression that was there, taken back by Narad, was just lumps of human shit. One particular lump was seen by him at the particular spot that the Lord sent him. And he got so annoyed, so dejected about the whole thing, you see. Didn't care even to bring up the topic or anything else. And the Lord of Lords, who cares for anything, and who does not care for anything. He is there, his work continues, we are all his creatures. He never cared to ask Narad what had happened. Weeks passed by, nothing happened, and Narad also had lost all hopes. He didn't want to bring up the subject, he didn't want the Lord to bring up the subject. He carried on with his duties, but he was in no mood to feel happy about what he is doing in the very physical presence of the Lord, you see. After some months, Lord Krishna again looks at him and says, Narad, nothing has come to pass. What happened? The other day I had sent you, you see, for a sure sign how blessed you were. And what happened? Nothing impressed you. So the Lord asked him, says, what did you see that day? What did you witness that day? He says, it's all right, Lord. Please let us not open the subject again anymore. I know I have to pass my days at your feet, you see, by your side. I am not craving or longing for anything now. I know I am worthless. He says, no, but what's the matter? What did you see that day? Human shit. Actually, those who were around the Lord, you see, they were taken aback. I said, what's this Narad trying to say? The Lord asks him to clarify, what's the matter? What did you see that day? He says, human shit. But what happened? What did you see? Why did you go there? He says, nothing. You just told me to go there at that spot. There was nothing there except human shit. He says, no. You have missed the sign, the Lord said. No. It's not that. He says, I tell you now you go. I order you once again. You go to a certain tree, you see. Then he pointed out that particular tree. There was that mango tree there, and that it's a huge tree. And you go there, and I assure you that you will get the surest sign how blessed you are. So Narad, you see, after all, being a follower of the Lord, human being, weak human being, he had to obey the command of the Lord, and he goes the next day. When he goes there, he goes and stands under the tree. Well, besides the tree, there is nothing, not even the fruits on the tree, you see. Or the sign there, he just tries to gaze at the leaves and the branches and the trunk. And what is there? What sign I get out of it? He waits there for some time. All of a sudden, he hears some chirping of the bird. All of a sudden, his attention is drawn towards a hollow in the trunk of the tree. And there he sees there, you see. And there are some parrot. There is a parrot nesting there. All of a sudden, a little parrot, a baby parrot, comes out on the edge of that hollow. And then just Narad gazes at the parrot, little parrot, baby parrot. And the baby parrot seems to have gazed at Narad, and the parrot falls down dead on the ground. Oh, Narad said, now he got the inkling, you see. Formerly the impression that was there, he was impressed only with the lump of human shit. He never associated it with the worm that had dropped itself down, dead, you see, with the gaze of Narad. Now he could associate that, you see. He says, it had nothing to do, human shit had nothing to do. He says, what happens to me that anything that I look at, or if the eyes meet and I gaze at something, you see, something drops dead. How cruel I have become. What have I gained in this? Being by the side of the Lord, what is this? He is very downhearted, cold. He does not know what to do, whether to return or just leave the Lord and go away. He does not know. Something drags him back. He does not know what to do now. He does not know how to show his face to the Lord, because he cannot stand up to all this test now. His mind had played that havoc, you see, with him. And he knew how worthless he was. So there he goes. He enters there, mixes with the mandali there, and says nothing to them, just there. And the Lord has never cared to ask him what has happened. Again, the same thing. Months passed by. A year passes by, as if nothing has happened, everything is forgotten. And then all of a sudden, one day, but this Narad harbors it in him, it has made a home in him, in his heart and mind, whatever you call it, that he's so worthless, that he's a creature not worth admiring or being thought of or looked upon. Because anything that comes, the something innocent that comes in his way, just drops dead. So well, it so happened one day that a king from the neighborhood comes to the Lord. After a year and a half or so. And then he just comes there, and Lord Krishna is very happy to receive him and takes him in and says, well, is there any good news from your kingdom? And the king says, yes, my Lord, a son is born to me. Oh, very happy news. He says, yes, I have come to give you this happy news, and at the same time, I have come to invite you to my kingdom to bless the home and bless my son. He says, but that's not possible with me now. I'm so preoccupied. The Lord says, I'm so preoccupied. I can't come now. There's no time for me. So the king implores that it's the time for him to come now and bless the kingdom, bless the family, bless the home, bless the boy. The Lord doesn't go there, you see. He says, do one thing. Be happy and contented with one thing, and that I send my emissary, my man, to your kingdom. So the king knew who the Lord was, so he accepted the Lord's wish and says, as you please, my Lord. Says, then he looks around, you see, towards his mandali men and says, he points at Narad. He says, Narad, I would like you to go and bless that bonny prince. Narad got the shock of his life. He says, now my Lord is so disgusted with me that he wants me to be killed in another kingdom. Because if my gaze were to fall on this prince, sure enough, the prince would die, you see. That would be my blessings to that little child. And the king will never spare me, you see. But he couldn't say all these things to the Lord. He just kept quiet. He put his head down, you see, in shame. He says, Narada, you hear me? It's for you to go. And the next day the king will leave and you prepare to go with the king. So he prepares and the king takes him there to his kingdom. And there Narada, of course, usual self, he talks with the king on the way, en route and all that. And the king knew Narada very well. They used to come and visit the Lord and all that. And the Lord used to go to his kingdom and taking his men. And then the king knew Narada very well. So there was a lot of other talk going on. When they reached the palace, what happened is that naturally they had to rest. So Narada was not taken into the chamber the very moment they reached the palace. A day was fixed for it. And Narada was waiting his time, that the last hour was fast approaching, he thought. So when the time came, the day approached, the time came, the king led him into the chamber. Narada had determined never to look upon the prince, you see, never to put his eye on the prince, but to just turn his head, keep his head turned away from the prince. And then he uttered and muttered all sorts of blessings on behalf of the Lord, the God-man and the avatar of the age and this and that and all that, you see. That rigmarole, as we call it, you see. The blessings were given, you see. Just then.
But he didn't look
at he didn't look at the prince.
The
no, he was afraid. So all of a sudden he hears the voice in the chamber when the king and the queen and other courtiers were there. Says, Narada, what's the matter with you? Why don't you look at me? As if the voice comes from the cradle, from the side of the mother, the cradle that was there by the side of the mother. So all are taken aback. He says, where's the voice comes from? So they look at the child and says, Narada, why don't you look at me now? Some time back, you looked at me. My gaze fell on you. How blessed I was. I was just a worm. And I fell dead and was reborn as a little parrot. Just then, you see, your gaze fell upon me and how blessed I was that I looked at you and I died and I'm born as a prince now. If you were to look at me now, I would be relieved from the chain of this birth and death. Why don't you look at me now? Why don't you bless me with the same blessing? What has happened to you? Please bless me with your sight. This voice, this explanation went so deep into Narada that instead of being the wise man, the man to bless the prince, he tried to curse himself as how unworthy a slave he was of the Lord, that he didn't realize, didn't believe what the Lord had said, how fortunate and blessed he was. So the Lord had to undergo all the pain, take all the pains, you see, undergo all this evolutionary form just to bring home to him the fact how blessed a person is he who lives close to the Lord, who is in the orbit of the love of the Lord, who are under the orders of the Lord. So Narada didn't believe anything because all of them who live by his side or under his orders or in the vicinity of his being, they just remain as ordinary people. But what happens internally, even they do not know. And that's how Narada got frustrated and realized later on how blessed he was to be the slave of the Lord. That's the story.